dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. I'm Shane Combs, SVCSportsZone.com, joined once again here in the spring season with Jeremy Ward. My brother Matt Combs will be in and out throughout the spring season. Matt was with me during the fall and then obviously takes the winter off with some of his coaching responsibilities. He'll join Jeremy and myself throughout the spring here and there. But Jeremy, I'd like to welcome you to the show. And as I say spring season, I guess that's what it is on the calendar. You wouldn't know it much from the weather to this point. But before we get to the spring, Jeremy, I wanted to get your final thoughts on basketball. Had the Adena girls with a nice special tournament run, Piketon boys as well. I even had some other teams do some solid things in the tournament. Before we flip the calendar over, if you will, just kind of look back to the winter and give us some final thoughts on the basketball season.
Well, Shane, you're no doubt about the weather, as you say. I think we got a little bit of preview yesterday, but then it was kind of back to the norm this afternoon. But as you said, I think special was a great way to describe the basketball seasons for both Adena's girls and Piketon's boys. Congratulations to both teams on those special seasons and those senior-laden groups on phenomenal careers. You know, I think we had high expectations for each of those teams, both, you know, their fan base and us here on the podcast. And, I feel they met those, and definitely takes a great deal of talent, drive, and a little bit of luck to sustain that kind of success through the league season and on into the tournament. So, again, congratulations to those athletes and coaches.
Well, Jeremy, I know leading into the off season, if you will, for basketball players, I'd written a couple articles and I was looking ahead to next year's basketball season. But at the same time, I was talking a little bit of off season in terms of AAU club sports and just kind of how in our culture today, how the way of life maybe is a little different than the way I view it. And I've caught a lot of grief in the inbox from some Zane Trace people not liking the way I worded certain things. It felt like maybe I was attacking the Zane Trace girls in terms of questioning their commitment to basketball. I wanted to get your take just in terms of multiple sports, in terms of an athlete. Obviously, the Piketon boys have been an example of how they've been very, very good at a lot of different things over the last 3 or 4 years, and you see a lot of the names overlap sport to sport. When you get into the off season and you're looking at AAU and club volleyball and Legion baseball or whatever it might be, how do you think all of that's balanced in terms of what kids are looking for today, what parents are looking for, and maybe how it correlates to our high school teams?
Those are good points, that were brought up both in your article and some of the conversations we've had and some of the comments in the inbox. You know, it is all about perception. And I tell you what, it's a lot about the kids' personalities. Some kids just want to be going, want to be competing all the time. Some kids just have the personalities where they get with two or three of their friends and they just really like each other and they really like being teammates and they want to be involved in multiple sports at the high school level. And others, maybe they grow up as the only one that really truly love their sport, and they might play, say, volleyball with their school team, but their love is basketball, and they devote a lot of time to that outside with friends from other areas in, a club or AAU setting. And, I think sometimes, we get lost in that. This the kid's personality a lot of times is going to dictate that. And another point that I would maybe bring up is just the continuity of the high school programs. You know, do your coaches work together? I think you see.
Good point. Yeah.
I think if you see coaches that are involved in multiple sports, take the Piketon scenario right now. I think they're a good example. A lot of the coaches you know, they kind of intertwine throughout all the sports programs, and so it makes sense that the kids are going to do the same thing. So, you know, a lot of those factors play into that, and, you know, like you and I have talked about, it's easy to see from our eyes because we grow up from the perspective that, you know, the most important thing to us was, you know, playing for your high school or this or this and that, and, you know, hanging the championship banners. And then as coaches of high school sports, we're naturally going to lean that way. But there are a lot of different opinions, a lot of different ways to look at this.
Well, and that's basically what the article was trying to throw out there and generate some discussion. Fans, you can find that on our homepage there, svcsportszone.com. It's part of our SVC Sports Zone blog. The links are right there on the front. Read those if you haven't already, and send us some comments in, because I really think it makes for some great discussion. If you're involved in high school sports at all, as a player or as a parent who has a son or daughter doing that, you're definitely going to have an opinion, and that's something we'd love to talk about here on the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. So, well, Jeremy, on that note, let's move ahead to spring. Let's look ahead here. Softball, pretty balanced, as I think we're going to get into here, especially in the top half. Baseball is a senior-loaded power conference, as always. Track teams and individuals returning with some pretty impressive resumes. Just before we get into the meat and potatoes of breaking down all of this stuff, just give me your thoughts on spring and what you're looking for.
Well, you know, just the weather turning, I'm looking forward to that, like you alluded to at the beginning. But, you know, in all honesty, you know, you talk about balance and you talk about senior loaded power. Man, there's no doubt about that. I look for the softball conference to be much stronger, you know, outside the league this year. You know, the baseball conference is going to, you know, be the premier league in this district, in this part of the state. And, you know, we have individuals and teams and track that are just, you know, exceptionally talented as well. So I think we truly are in a great spot with SVC spring sports. And it's hard to imagine that there are any other leagues that are near as deep across the board as what we have here in the SVC.
Well, Jeremy, we have a lot to get to on this opening show, so let's get right to it. We start with a look back at one of the truly great seasons in recent history, as well as some fair unfair from the inbox.
This town ain't big, this town ain't small, it's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's Triple A. We sit below the Marlboro Man, above the Rockville Wall. We do the wave all by ourselves. Hey, a blind man could have made that call. We like our beer fat as can be. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant much. We just like to see the boys hit it deep. There's nothing like the view from the cheap seats.
Well, you can never, ever go wrong with a little cheap seats as we're trying to get into the spring season. You can always count on Bruce to just be right on the money with what the show needs. Jeremy, I have to get into something here real quick before I move on to what the actual email that generated our softball discussion was. When I was hearing about the ump, the blind man could have made that call. Mm-hmm. We had an email in the inbox that was a huge fan of our Liar Liar Stripes on Fire from basketball, and they were wanting to know if you also do some baseball and or softball umpiring, because they had some different things they would like to add to the spring. How would you feel about that if we maybe added that segment as we get into the spring?
Oh, I think that would be wonderful. I do not have my license to umpire.
However, I'm sure you have an opinion.
I have a lot of opinions. So I have all kinds of pet peeves, and I actually had conversations with umpires at your game on Saturday and then with umpires at the softball game on Saturday. So, you know, I've already got four games under my belt, and I've already had conversations with the umpires because it's a great opportunity to learn, especially if it's something you don't agree with the way it's being called. So that's an awesome idea.
So again, the emailer, feel free to get those in. We'll have to come up with a clever name if anyone has an idea. Again, we went with the liar stripes on fire. We'll have to get a clever name for that segment here in the spring, and by all means, we'll take those questions. Well, Jeremy, let's get into the softball discussion. In my opinion, and I think some of the emails agree with me, over the last 2-3 weeks, it's impossible to start with SBC softball without saying the name Morgan Geno. Last year, when I look back at Adena Sports Medicine, again, that's the official sponsor of SBC Stats. I appreciate Adena Sports Medicine and all their support. Right now, you can go back and look at last year's stats. Give us about a week or two here and let softball baseball get about 5 to 8 games in, and we'll start running the 2013 page here of the Adena Sports Medicine softball and baseball stats. But, Jeremy, when I look back last year, leader in wins, ERA was ridiculous, over 200 strikeouts at the plate, right up in the high five, I think like 578 on our last update, double-digit home runs. RBI total was the league best, doubles league best. So I just look at this overall talent. It leads me to our first email, and they know a longtime listener of the show that we do a lot of fair, unfair. And it was just asking that when you look at Morgan Geno coming back with Zane Trace for a repeat season, is that enough alone to make ZT the favorite? I'll just kind of throw that out at you. Let you comment on Morgan's year and then on how you feel about Zane Trace going into 2013.
First of all, you know, you can't argue with anything you said regarding Morgan Geno, but you do not need any stats to tell you the story. If you simply watch her play, the type of talent that she possesses, you can tell just by watching her, you know, warm up that she's a special individual. And, you know, people argue back and forth about what stats are important and what stats are, you know, debatable on how you figure them at this level, whatever. That doesn't matter. All you have to do is watch her play, and you know that she's just an exceptional talent. And when you have a player like that, that's, you know, one of the top of her class as far as, you know, the recruiting world and college prospects. I know she's on a very high level summer travel team that will expose her to some of the best players in the country. And she's certainly in that discussion. It's not just Southeastern Ohio or Ohio. She's that kind of a talent. So when you have a player like that, there's no doubt that you're going to have high expectations. But, you know, you also have to look that she does have some help. I mean, Joanne Saltz was a great hitter, I think, not just last year, but the year before. She had a very nice season.
Right.
Another year of experience for Montana Fry, who's obviously a successful, you know, high-level athlete. When you look at that, and they're going to be, you know, filling in a lot of new pieces, and the middle of the order is going to look a little different, and, you know, they're going to have some options and flexibility where they hit those girls in the order, but they're definitely going to rely on you know, impact from younger players and inexperienced players to kind of fill in the gaps. And, you know, the one thing that I've always said about baseball and softball that, you know, sometimes is hard to understand is that, you know, all nine players in that order are going to hit every time. You know, you don't get to skip somebody, and your best players don't get a hit more often. And, you know, you can have the greatest shortstop in the world, but there's no guarantee they're going to get a ball hit to them. So it takes all nine players. And, you know, I think it's a great place to start when you have the kind of talent Zane Trace does. And it's easy to see them being one of the favorites in the league.
Well, I like what you're saying there, and the comment I was saying earlier about Zane Trace. You're dealing with athletes when you start throwing those names out of kids that are very successful in a lot of different sports, and it's that competition that you talk about, I think, that can really drive some success in all sports. Now, one thing we've always tried to do, Jeremy, on this show is we've let the fans kind of drive our discussion, and as I go through about 6, 7, 8 softball emails here over the last couple of weeks as they knew we were getting ready for the show, some of the names I'm starting to hear after that are Westfall, Uniota. They even throw Piketon, Huntington in, which I'll get to here in a little bit. But I wanted to start with Westfall. I was really intrigued with this. I know you and I just talk a lot of SVC sports when we're hanging out, eating lunch, you know, watching games, whatever. Tell the fans what you like about Westfall. I know you're high on them.
Oh, absolutely. Really, really interested to see what kind of season the Lady Mustangs are going to put together. Watching them play over the past few years, not only at the high school level, but some of these girls I've seen play in the summertime when they were younger. Just the experience, and you can still talk to some of the successes these girls have had with the Westfall volleyball program, kind of the reemergence that you saw this year with the basketball program is they're obviously strengthening their girls' athletics. But just the experience that you're going to have out of a Gina Rochert, you know, with the big tournament run as a freshman, and then, you know, really keeping them in games last year in the circle. And, you know, you just really can't argue with just that game tough experience that she has. And you throw in Kayla Tackett. She's much improved, I think, through the year last year, playing shortstop and hitting at the top of the order. Then you look at girls like Kelly Fox, who's very speedy outfielder, that I really look for her to have a big year. Denise Arledge in the infield, and the addition of Reagan Stonerock, the freshman. I really think that, you know, their lineup top to bottom and their defense, you know, all the way around, is going to give Coach Redmond's group just a little bit of an edge overall, I think, on paper, when you compare them to the other teams. So, you know, they finished only a game behind Union and Zane Trace last year, and they really had some struggles offensively, you know, scoring more than 2 or 3 runs a game. And you put that many kids in a lineup together another year, you just have to believe that they're going to score more runs and that their pitching and defense is only going to get better. So I think that puts a lot of pressure on the other teams not to slip up, because it's going to be awfully tough for teams to hand the Mustangs very many losses this year.
Right.
So, you know, that being said, you know, we've talked about Zane Trace, we talked about Westfall. Uniota were the other co-champions of the conference last year, and I'll kind of throw it back to you to talk about Coach Jadwin's crew.
Well, I'll tell you the thing that jumps out at me with Uniota. You and I had an interesting discussion just about baseball, softball, just sports in general, about the importance of just athletes and speed. And when I look this roster over, obviously Ashley Flott right now going through a little bit of an injury issue. Hopefully we get more word on that. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. But when you start putting athletes like a Flott and Maddie Trainer and some kids like that that can really run and do some things, that in itself is a shot in the arm. Natalie Neff, seems like she's been playing varsity softball forever, just a solid hitter. Mm-hmm. Then Gina Wright and Rachel Wright, both just softball kids that's been around it growing up. They had so much. I know Emily Ward, same way, had a nice day at the plate the other day, and she offers a lot of versatility with some pitching and some various defensive alignment for them. And then I'm even seeing names like some younger kids like Warren and Pierce show up in some of the early box scores. So I guess when I look at the overall Uniota lineup, maybe you could say, man, they lost a couple really big pieces from a year ago. But at the same time, I think, as always, Uniota is going to be an extremely athletic group, and usually athleticism is something I've said as a baseball coach. I think in baseball and softball, athleticism is sometimes a very underrated thing in terms of your ability to cover ground on the defensive side, your ability to create right. offensive opportunity, put pressure on high school defenses. As you and I right. said over the last year's show, that even your average high school teams, but even your elite high school teams are going to make mistakes. So when you have speed, when you have some high softball IQ throughout your lineup, I just think it gives your coaches an opportunity to do some things. So some of those names I tried to throw out there, I really think is going to make Uniota. Now, real quick before we move on, I will ask you this, Jeremy, because we'll get into this later. I think Uniota has some pitching depth as well, but would you agree on the softball side that that's maybe not as important as in baseball?
Well, you know, that was our big topic last year, as a lot of the teams in the league were going with multiple pitchers. And, you know, we had that discussion and you saw it kind of play out. And, you know, it worked for Uniota, even though it ended up being, you know, a lot more of the younger pitchers than it ended up being the senior in Bain and her experience. But, you know, like I said, you could see the difference of how Zane Trace got there and Westfall versus how Uniota did. And I don't think it is as big a deal, but you think about the potential for injury. If a pitcher would go down and you don't have a number two, you right. go from contender to maybe – just struggling to compete. So, right. I mean, overall, you know, I guess it's a double-edged sword. You know, you lose your best pitcher in baseball. Well, they're only pitching, you know, once, maybe twice a week. In softball, that might be five games. So, you know, right. depends how you look right. at it.
Well, Jeremy, while we're on the topic of softball, we will go ahead and finish the league up. On the other side of the break, we will talk sleepers as well as some teams who appear much improved from a year ago. Nice. Bruce is batting 2 for 2 so far on the spring season. See, sometimes, Jeremy, with you and Bruce, you get all, you know, crazy versatility music-wise on me. Every now and then, you just need to simplify things with some good baseball tunes and go back to the basics. So
you're yeah. right. And I want to thank Bruce. Bruce puts on a magnificent show up at Vinton County in their productions of their drama department, and you know, my daughter went and watched those shows last weekend, and she's still singing the songs from the show, so I get a share in that through her voice. But I do thank Bruce for that. He's a multi-talented individual, no doubt.
Well said. And fans can check out DBK Media Service there for the various podcast shows and some different things that the website offers there. So now, as we return to softball here, Jeremy, I'm using the term sleeper, which I don't know if that's fair or unfair. We'll find out what you think, only because that's what the emails have used. But they felt like Piketon and Huntington kind of fit into this middle ground where some of the emails felt like they were serious contenders. Other people thought maybe they couldn't win the league, but maybe they could decide who does. I guess I'll just throw those two teams out at you, Piketon and Huntington. What comes to mind, and what do you feel like their role is going to be in this 2013 race?
Well, looking at those two teams, you know, anybody that was able to listen to the show last year knew how high I was on Piketon all year long, and you know, the talent that they have, and now a great deal of experience. Even though they have a lot of sophomores and juniors, they have kids that have played tons and tons of varsity games and come from very athletic families. And you know, I just really, you know, think they had some bad luck last year and lost a lot of close games and had a tough time sustaining you know, consistent play. And I think the same could be said for Huntington. But, you know, when you look at, you know, Huntington and Elena Lytle and the things that she's able to do for them, she's developing into, you know, one of the finest pitchers in the league, and is also a very good, very, very good athlete all around, hitting in all aspects. And you look at some of the experience that they return with Shania Irvin, I know Brooke Hapney returns, Kendra Detti, Hurdleless Girl, Kelsey Waters. I really think that they're a team that they're going to be more consistent this year. Those kids have played together for a long time, and I think you're going to see some runs where they don't maybe just knock one team off. They might just run off a week where, you know, they beat everybody. So I think they're a very dangerous team, and Piketon, very much the same. Morgan Merritt is an exceptional talent. Adrian Dunn had a monster year as a freshman, and she really could be a huge impact player for them. I know that they're also experienced behind the plate and, you know, throughout the infield as well. So, you know, I think the depth of the league, as we mentioned earlier, you know, is really tremendous, and maybe the biggest positive from last year to this year, in my opinion. And I think that is going to, you know, strengthen the balance. And I'm not even sure you could say top half, bottom half. I think really that carries through, you know, at least the top two thirds of the league. And I definitely would include Paint Valley in that, as you can mention in the same breath. And I know you can speak on Paint Valley, Shane.
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is, Paint Valley is a team that's a little bit healthier entering 2013 compared to 2012. And, you know, will that show up better in the wins loss in terms of wins and losses? I, you know, it's hard to say. Obviously, you've just given me five teams that are going to be very, very difficult, which, you know, with the home and away schedule, right, there's 10 of your games on your schedule. So beyond the wins and losses, I do think Paint Valley is going to be a far improved team. Erin Riley returns healthy in 2013. I know over the weekend she was able to pitch all 12 innings in their two wins, striking out 14. And Cheyenne Lightfoot's someone who can really swing the bat, as she's proven against some pretty good pitching in the last couple years, and she does some catching. So anytime you're good at pitcher-catcher, that solidifies you in terms of your chances to compete. And what that does now with Erin back in the circle is it frees an incredible athlete like Lacey Stanforth up to just impact the game in other ways, be it defensively in the middle of your defense, or as a hitter. And we talked about the speed on the bases and things like that. So, and I'm even seeing some early impact from a Taylor Wall, Courtney Johnson, some kids like that. So I just look at it as if Aaron's able to stay healthy and she's able to throw well, it's not just the strikeouts we talked about, because obviously against some of the elite teams, they're going to put the ball in play. But a lot of times with good pitching, it's just hitting your spots. And, you know, obviously she has an experienced catcher back there, you know, receiving the game. And if you're hitting your spots and you can just limit the number of balls that are hit hard, a lot of times that's going to make your defense better. And I think that's something maybe we don't look at enough in baseball, softball, beyond the obvious of the strikeout stat, in terms of how many times do you hit your spot that allows maybe a hitter to put the ball in play in a way where the ball's not hit as hard and it's hit in a spot where, you know, the defense is prepared to make the routine play. So, yeah, I definitely think Paint Valley is going to be improved. And I guess if we're talking improved, the two teams that throughout the emails emailers didn't really give me a spot in the standings. They just made some very general comments, where Edina and Southeastern. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Edina would have some pretty decent pieces in their program that have been around for a while. And in Southeastern, I know I had a chance to watch them because of some day-night doubleheader stuff we did baseball-softball last year. They should be a team that's a year better as well. What's your take on Edina Southeastern to round up our softball coverage here, Jeremy?
Well, I tell you what, it would be hard for me to leave Edina out of that mix. And I know our order was kind of prepared through our emails and in the chatter. So, you know, I would go straight to Edina as my sleeper, just in all the things that we've talked on, because you're talking about a team that is just loaded with seniors. I think they have seven or eight seniors on the roster. They have kids that, you know, were on SVC championship teams 2 years ago. We talked about them as one of the potential favorites last year. You have an experienced Logan Battle in the circle this year. You have Alyssa Dawson, who has been an elite player in this conference for the past, you know, two or three seasons. You have the Givens girl in the outfield, who's a fantastic player, and even Dawson's sister, who got some good experience last year. So I look at a team there that, you know, really has everything set up in front of them, because they may kind of get forgotten in all this, and yet with the renewed energy of having an experienced coach take over, they're an extremely dangerous team, and you know how successful those Adina's girls sports programs have been over the past few years. So if you think you're just going to show up against Adina and win, I would say you're sadly mistaken. So you know, that leads us into Southeastern, and I love the energy and enthusiasm of Coach Cooper and the improvement that those girls showed last year. They really made strides, although you didn't see it in the win column. And, you know, I know we talked about that in our last show last year. And you alluded to watching how competitive they were with Paint Valley in the games last season. I just think, you know, with Jordan Rittenauer, they have experience coming back, girls that played maybe overwhelmed a little bit as freshmen now, including Taylor Brown, Michaela Mash, and I know they have a very nice athlete and Lexi Cooper that really should give them the opportunity to maybe stick their nose in some games and really gain some experience this year. I think the unfortunate thing is just the overall talent and improvement of a lot of teams in the league is going to make it difficult for them to really see a huge impact in the standings.
Well, and it's fans, as you listen to softball coverage, I really encourage you to get involved in the show. There's tons of ways to do it. Emails admin1@svcsportszone.com. SVC Sports Zone is also Facebook and Twitter. And then you have your DVK website. You can subscribe to the show. Simply type in a email address there in the subscribe box, and then you'll go through a little verification email, and then you'll be sure to get an update every time we do a new show. So that's a look at softball. Now let's shift gears to baseball, where that sport is highlighted by a star of its own, as well as several senior loaded teams. Well, as we go over to baseball, we should let our fans know, baseball and softball, you always want to check out the Good Health Chiropractic Center, SVC baseball and softball scoreboards. Thank you to Dr. Chris Good for all the support. 740-773-GOOD. That's 773-4663. Doc Good's out on 231 East 2nd Street in Chillicothe. And again, one of our great sponsorships is, I guess, Jeremy, when you talk baseball, softball, you're talking just about every night. You'll want to check that out, because Monday, Wednesday, Friday, as we get into next week, we'll be playing the SVC three nights a week. And then obviously Saturday, a lot of doubleheaders going on. Tuesday, Thursday, a lot of non-league action. So really something to check out every night. And then as we get into it a little deeper, the standings start to play a role. We'll, if you watch the basketball scoreboards throughout the website, you saw that Valero is now our official sponsor of the SVC standings. We will be adding them to our baseball softball pages later this week as we start to get into our SVC standings there as well. Valero, located South Paint, Kingston, Southeastern, Bourneville, Western Avenue, and Bridge Street. So again, appreciate all of our great sponsors that make the website possible, as well as our podcast show. And I guess when I look baseball, Jeremy, I guess if we're talking regular season, we're talking SVC champions, you have to take a look at the Adina Warriors and what they've been able to accomplish. You look last year, Adina goes 12-2. They win the league by three games over Piketon, Zane Trace, and Westfall at 9-5. And I just don't think people understand what kind of accomplishment that is. I mean, it's an amazing thing. Now, Adina was hit hard by graduation. They definitely returned some nice players. I guess the thing that I'll say about them is I think you have to give it a week or two to be introduced to the next batch of stars, if you will. Right. When you look at last year's senior class, the names with Yates and Honinger and all the way down the list, just one after the other. I think now what happens in great programs is you had kids waiting their turn. So I think as you will start to watch this new batch of Adina players come in, I think it's not going to take you long to get it figured out. I know that with Harper and Myers and some kids coming back, they're definitely going to put a good product on the field, and they're going to be a tough team to beat. So when I look back, just to let people know how good the 12-2 and the three-game championship run was for Adina, I want you to think about something. Uniota finishes 8-6 and goes to the Division II regional for the second year in a row. And then Piketon, who was in that 9-5 bunch, they knock Westfall out of the district championship and go back to the Division III regionals for the second year in a row. So here's an Adina team going 12-2 and basically controlling start to finish a league race that is obviously just full of teams that made a big splash. And I think I heard Uniota with 8 seniors back. Obviously, Arledge is a very talented kid on the mound. And Uniota is always a really athletic team with a bunch of 4 and 5 tool players throughout their lineup. Piketon, another team that just has ridiculous experience. I was looking at Coach Bumgardner's roster. I want to say I counted 12 seniors, and you'll recognize a lot of the names is if you just start to go down the Piketon page on our website with Brapson and Bowman and Bennett and Robinson and obviously Zach Farmer is a very, very special talent, can really impact a game. Obviously with his pitching, but I think what we don't understand about Zach is we're not only watching one of the great pitchers our league's ever had, we're watching one of the truly great baseball players. I mean, this kid can play first base, play outfield, and he's going to dominate the game with all 5 tools. So when you look at the top half, Westfall, Coach Thomas could easily, led by with Stone Rock and Lewis Batt, he could easily start 8 seniors. I counted on his roster the other day. I love the Kazermak kid behind the plate. He's outstanding. And then Zane Trace has a bunch of seniors back as well. When I look down through Coach Allen in his roster, you just see so many names that you recognize, you know, with Downs and Heskett and Beam, and just so many seniors across the league. And I guess what I wanted to ask you, Jeremy, because I thought you'd really be able to give us a great perspective on this, help me make sense to the baseball fans out there how a baseball team being more equipped to win a league title compared to maybe making that special tourney run, that maybe that would explain with what Adina did last year compared to what Uniota and Piketon and maybe even a Westfall's been able to do in the postseason.
You know, when you talk about, you know, this situation in particular, with Adina and with the examples of what Uniota and Piketon were able to do, you got to believe that Uniota and Piketon, when they get through the regular season and they catch their breath and they take a couple days off and they look at their tournament draw, that they just want to smile and take a deep breath and say, thank goodness. I mean, now I've only got to play twice a week, and there's no way that, you know, we're not prepared, that my team's not prepared physically or mentally to go against what we have to face in the tournament. So I think that renewed sense, maybe getting out of the grind, that is the SVC night in and night out, where you play so many different styles of baseball and you play so many different at different venues. I mean, just think of the uniqueness of the ballparks that you play at. And, you know, you and I both know that those little the quirks and the idiosyncrasies and just knowing your home park, how huge an advantage that can be in these games that are decided by one run. And you just look at those scores and you can see that. But when you talk about the tradition of some of the conference teams, sometimes you're playing that name on the jersey and it can be a mental block. So I think there's a lot of mental relaxation that goes with the tournament, and it becomes a complete different animal when you kind of ride the momentum, maybe of that relief, as Piketon and Uniota were able to do.
Well, I think you make a great point there. You got me thinking about the NCAA tournament here in basketball. I remember Tom Izzo was saying in the Big Ten tournament, he goes, I'd rather play the Lakers tomorrow than to play another Big Ten team.
Yeah.
It's that same type of just mental fatigue as you grind it out. The SVC is a league with 14 league games. That's quite a bit. And you look at a Monday, Wednesday, Friday grind. all the way through the season. I think you make a great point. I think you get to the tournament. I know Westfall knocked Paint Valley out last year. Piketon knocked Westfall out. So a lot of times you get just people from the league just beating up on each other, even in the postseason, that once you do get the opportunity to see someone else, I think you make a good point there. I think the other thing that goes into this is – you've heard me use the term senior loaded, and I'll even throw Huntington into this mix. Coach Carroll has one of his older teams he's had during this really great run that he's really done a nice job with the Huntington program. I do not have their roster in front of me, but I know just one of the great athletes that jump out at me is the Dyer kid. Just when we talk speed and what he's able to do, Kello's a great player. Now, he's only a junior, but again, an older player with a lot of varsity experience. I guess the second thing beyond the regular season, the tourney comparison, Jeremy, that I'd want you to maybe help explain to the fans is – What is it about having seniors in terms from a baseball perspective that you feel like gives you maybe a huge advantage?
Well, just the physical maturity. And, you know, I think there was a lot of evidence of that yesterday when I came out to watch your game. Got the opportunity to watch my brother play, who's just a very tiny physical presence. And watching him try to compete against some of these, 17 and 18-year-old men. And, even though you have a young roster, that's the first thing that comes to my mind as I watch Unita practice. A couple of times a week, I get the opportunity to watch them and just think over the years the type of athletes and the specimens that Coach Allen has had out at Zane Trace and that Coach Yates had at Adina, and just the physical attributes of some of these kids by the time they're seniors and the mental experiences. When you put that combination together, it's a lot to overcome. And like you said, I think a lot of these kids, it's like they've waited their turn and the spotlight's on them. And, although that puts a lot of pressure on 17, 18-year-old kids, a lot of them, that's what they've been waiting for.
Right.
So, when you're thinking about that, it really is a big deal for these kids. And the crowds here, the one thing I've noticed in these SVC games, they draw a lot of attention, a lot of people. And I think a lot of these kids, they thrive on that spotlight. So, I talked a little bit, mentioned about your Paint Valley team and, Southeastern as well, if you'd like to talk about those two baseball groups.
Well, I think with the Southeastern team, the thing that jumps out at me is just the interest level out there this year seems pretty high from some of the early reports I'm getting. Over 30 kids originally out for baseball and some of the different athletes coming back. I know the Hendershot kid was a really, really underrated player in our league last year. Really tough out, good player.
Hard worker.
Yes. Another freshman last year, Johnson, jumps out at me. Just trying to think of some of the names, Bothman, just some of the kids that were just really athletic in Strahl's ball. As they come back a year older, I can't help but go back to that. And it's just in terms of being, the difference between being 16 and 15 and then 17 and 16, you just keep getting older. You get a little stronger. The arm strength's going to increase. The speed down the baseline is going to increase, and all those different things that I talked about throughout the course of 27 games, when you're playing one and two run games, those can sometimes being able to throw someone out from the hole or just being able to steal that extra base or being able to beat that infield hit out. Those are all things that play such a key role. So I think Southeastern is going to definitely be an improved team in terms of just being bigger, faster, stronger. As for my Paint Valley team, I tell you what, I have a group that I love. I feel like this is a team that's definitely going to get better throughout the course of the season because of how hard they work at it. I think that's a credit to our four-year senior, Tyler Atkins. Tyler's a versatile kid that can do a lot of things. Tyler Thompson's a well-known name that SVC people know. We feel like he's a pretty legitimate number one with some other guys. Another three-year starter back, Nate Yoakum, definitely is a name some people know. So Mason McCloy and Jacob Brooks. We're happy to have Mark Clifford out healthy. He hasn't been healthy to play. And then we have some younger kids we're going to mix in there too. So I guess you're right. I guess when you look at our roster, we are still a young baseball team, but I do feel like we have some experience. And We have some pretty solid pitching. If we're able to make some routine plays behind that pitching, we'll see how it goes. But it's definitely a team I'm excited about. Now, fans, if you listen to the show throughout the entire year, you know that we do a two-minute drill in football. We do a fast break segment in basketball. In the spring, we go extra innings for baseball, softball. And starting next week, we'll oftentimes look at our photo finish for track. For this week's look at baseball and softball, Jeremy, let's do this. Let's have you take the lead with a softball look. I will follow with a baseball answer. So here we go with the extra innings.
Who is the POY candidate who fans should be watching, not named Morgan Geno or Zach Farmer?
On the softball side of things, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is Gina Rochard up in Westfall. You know, her experience and her, you know, leadership could be instrumental in leading the Lady Mustangs towards a championship. I think you also throw in names like Natalie Neff at Uniota, you know, just a fine talent behind the plate and a great hitter. Elena Lidewit at Huntington, if they're able to push their way to the top. Even an Adrian Dunn at Piketon, who's got some big time capabilities at the plate and as a pitcher. And even Logan Battle out at Edina, if they were able to surprise some people this year in the SBC.
Well, I think you make two good points, Jeremy, that definitely relay over to baseball as well. One, it comes from a team success thing in terms of sticking your nose in the race. And then if you look again the way SBC does their voting, it's just so, so difficult to win an award like this without some pitching stats to go with offensive stats. So, I mean, obviously with Uniota's great balance led by Arledge, Zane Trace has some great balance. A kid like Heskett's going to throw a lot of innings, maybe Downs, Thompson, Paint Valley's going to throw a lot of innings, strike out a lot of people. But I would have to say I'd go to Westfall with Alex Stonerock. I think he's the kid. When you make predictions like this, you're going off of last year's achievements and what they have coming back. And, you know, Alex, a kid that he's going to probably take the ball most Mondays and Fridays, and he's going to work deep into the game. He's going to strike out a lot of guys. They're going to win a lot of games, and he's obviously going to do it with the bat as well. So I'd say Alex Stonerock.
Name a speedster who has the ability to really impact the game on the bases.
Well, I think a couple of players we mentioned earlier in regards to softball, Ashley Flott, definitely super talented athlete at Uniota. She definitely makes you get rid of the ball if you want a chance to throw her out of first base on a bunt and wreaks havoc on the base paths. Taking extra bases, really putting pressure on the defense, both the infielders and the outfielders. I also look at Kelly Fox of Westfall. I think she gave Uniota and Zane Trace fits when she was on the bases last year, what she's able to do at the plate and situations she's able to create with her speed. And, you know, Shane, you and I talked about how quickly you have to get rid of the ball in softball if a girl gets out of the box at 160 feet bases. And, you know, how much pressure that puts on the defense every single play, knowing that those players are you know, running around the base pass.
Well, I think on the baseball side, Jeremy, you could just basically roll out Westfall, Piketon, and Uniota's lineup and just draw it out of a hat. I mean, first of all, their athleticism is ridiculous year in, year out. But if we're talking just individuals, I'll go to Huntington with Austin Dyer. I think this is a kid that's a very underrated talent in our league, extremely gifted athlete, can really, really run, good hitter, tough to get out. If he's hitting top half the baseball, even on the baseball diamond, and he hits it to the left side of the infield, you better field it clean and you better get it out quick. I would say the Dyer kid from Huntington definitely fits that answer.
Give a factor in this year's league race that perhaps a fan will overlook.
Well, I know something that always concerned me as a coach was how the league schedule falls and what order are you playing teams. And, you know, in baseball, it's a much bigger deal because if you have a Monday-Wednesday combination, it affects your pitching decisions, and that could ultimately, you know, affect the league race. But in softball, I think it's going to be critical this year when you look at all the great teams that we have, that you look, can you bounce back from a tough loss? Can you stay even keeled after an emotional victory and come back the next league night and get it done again and have the focus to make that happen?
Well, I think in baseball, you make a good point with the order of teams. I would even take it a step further and kind of go with an answer I mentioned last year in the preview, which is rain. Because I think what happens is when you have rain outs and games start getting pushed together, that's when the pitching depth becomes that factor as well. So I think rain with pitching depth in baseball definitely can play a role in a regular season champ, which kind of goes into what we were talking earlier about. Once you get into the tournament, you spread some games out, you can ride that one arm a lot more, maybe a softball type of run.
What part of the game is hurt the most early in the year by teams not getting outside as much as last year?
Well, without question, I think it's defense. Just being able to simulate the on-field situations. I think softball has a slight advantage over baseball because if you're a school that has a newer gym, maybe you can set up a full infield with softball where there's absolutely no chance of that in baseball. But I think two things that get lost. Number one, wet ground and field material is nowhere near the same as a gym floor, and just your arm throwing inside and throwing outside are completely different, and you kind of have to work through arm fatigue and some of that, and it's a huge advantage to be outside to go through that in a situation or a scenario that you're actually going to be playing in, as compared to having to practice and being inside all the preseason.
Well, I think the indoor facilities is a great factor that you mentioned that a lot of people probably don't think about. I would agree with the defense. So hard to simulate certain plays inside, maybe even some live hitting looks when you consider some of the elite pitching that you could see early in the year. But I think if you're creative, there's some different ways you can try to at least give them a little bit of a look at that. So I would definitely say defense is the one thing inside that you just can't make as game-like as you can once you get out onto the field. Again, fans, appreciate all the support with the show. I know two of those there, including that last one, which was an excellent email. It ended up from the inbox at admin1@svcsportszone.com. You can also call 740-569-3254 and have your voice heard on SVC Sports Talk. Just leave your comment, and we'll try to get you on. Now, Jeremy, before we wrap up here, we don't want to cheat track this first week. Track's just now going to be getting underway here as we move into this week, but I did want to combine two or three thoughts that we at least had on our agenda here and just get a track comment from you. I know they're going to be I noticed a ZT invite coming up, which will have some of our better SVC teams in action. But when you look at our league, we had some state champions, we have great teams, and we talked earlier about the difference in making a tournament run and winning leagues and things like that. You kind of get the same thing in track. You might get an individual go to the state, win a state championship, whatever it might be, and that can really carry a program, whereas other teams have great depth. I guess we'll get into track far more in weeks to come. If you were going to just sum up your thoughts on track and some of these different things that make a great program or really maybe put a program on the map, so to speak, with an individual, what's some of your take on track there? Or maybe give our fans a headline that you're looking at as we move into 2013 here.
Well, it's always intrigued me, kind of the arguments. People say, well, in individual sports, it's a little bit easier to make predictions because, when you're measured by time, there's your times and you put them down and you know who should win, that sort of thing. But, on the flip side of that, I've always found it remarkable that, you can be the one that has the top times. You can be the individual that has maybe the records in a field event or what have you. But to me, that puts an extreme amount of pressure. You can't depend on your teammates. There's nobody else there. It's just you.
Right,
And you have to answer the bell every time out, knowing that you're expected to win that event. And so not only are you competing against yourself and your personal best as everybody else is, but you have that added pressure of, well, not only do I have to beat my best, I have to beat everybody else too. When they're looking at my time or my distance or my height and trying to come and get that. So I just think it's remarkable that kids, have that kind of drive to be able to put that behind them and still, come out and compete and reach their potential.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And I tell you what, track fans, we will definitely have some good information, a lot of individual names, a lot of different things coming up as we'll get into some of our SVC honor roll page and so forth once they get into some actions. So you're definitely going to get that throughout the spring here on SVC Sports Talk. And before we get out of here this week, we take one last look at the inbox on the other side of the break. As a fan wants to know our take on taking on two spring sports at one time.
Con los terroristas.
Well, Jeremy, as we take one last look into the inbox here in this opening show of our spring season, obviously we'll get into a lot more track athletes moving forward in the weeks to come. But in closing, I just thought this was really fitting with this being the first show. And as we're getting ready to kick off, if you will, this spring season, this email says, I noticed some athletes playing baseball or softball while running track as well. At small schools, I think this can help when coaches share athletes. I was wondering what your take is on this idea. I guess I'll start off and then throw it to you, being a baseball coach myself. I think this is an incredible thing at the junior high level. I think it could even work with some JV. If I'm being honest, this becomes, even at a small school, this becomes very, very difficult at the varsity level. I think when you're a member of a varsity team, if you're going to try to treat a varsity program as a varsity program, it can become very, very difficult when you start picking A sports and B sports. And if you're here, and you know, if, are you truly balancing both if you only play in 80% of your games or if you're only at 80% of practices? So I think it's an incredible thing to try to get student athletes involved in as many things as possible coming up through junior high, early high school. But if you're one of the elite athletes that can truly offer something to a varsity team, that's where I'd probably like to see a little bit more of the commitment. Now, with that said, if on the side at a small school, if track has a particular thing where they're not even filling an event, or if there's a particular relay that you could maybe push over the top to allow some of those other kids and it's not going to interfere and it can work, then sure, you know, maybe you take a look at those things. But I just think it's very, very difficult at the varsity level, especially in a league like the SVC where things are very, very competitive, to try to balance that all. Jeremy, you've had some experience at a little bit of a bigger school, and then you're starting to get a little bit of the small school feel here as you mix in with the SVC. Your take on this email is really intriguing to me.
Well, my personal experiences actually in this area are pretty vast. I've had to deal with this as a baseball coach in the past, where you know we did share athletes, and I've heard and I've spoken to people, and you know I sought a lot of input when I was a young coach with this matter. But what I try to do is I try to sit down with the players at the beginning of the season and try to get a feel for what they were thinking and be very honest about their role on my team. And I was blessed enough to have some athletes that were specialized in certain areas of track where they did their work on their own. And because baseball was the team sport, you know, they devoted their practice time when we had practice and they did their individual work on their own.
Right.
And when it came down to, you know, a scenario where it was an invitational or a large event, you know, those were the events that they ran, and they didn't run just maybe at a duel on a midweek. They would do the weekend invitationals, and if I knew that going in, I would try to tailor my schedule around that. That, you know, those would be the Saturdays, maybe the big invitationals that I would steer clear of a doubleheader, or you know, even let the kids run track that day. That being said, it was never my shortstop and never my number one pitcher. So in all fairness, one year it was my leadoff hitter, and he was an exceptional athlete, but you know, he was a center fielder, and not having him for two Saturday doubleheaders, you know, that means I had him for 23 out of 27 games. Mm-hmm. And he was able to be an all-league caliber athlete in both sports. But I think you have to know the kids, and the kids have to have it all out on the table, and you have to have that cooperation with both the track coach and the baseball coach, the softball coach, you know, what have you.
Well, I tell you what, this type of email is what makes this show so fun to do. It's what's made the show grow throughout the Cider Valley Conference. Encourage fans to give us 50 minutes to an hour of your time every week, and we'll talk about what you tell us to talk about. Admin1@svcsportszone.com. Let us know. Some great emails here as we lead into spring. Look forward to coming back at you next week as we talk a little bit more detail of baseball, softball, and get in some track athletes, and then of course all of your emails. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center, for the great people at DBK Media Services, and for my co-host Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.